Hi, my name is Jamie Ridgway, the head coach and owner of the Renaissance Academy of Martial Arts. And today I want to tell you about some of the programs that we offer at the Academy. So in our Little Dragons programs, our 4 to 6 year old class, that class is designed for, you know, teach kids focus. You know, at that age, it's very difficult for them to focus. So we want to teach them focus. We want to teach them basic tumbling, basic martial arts skills. At the same time, you know, stranger danger, what to do if there's somebody that comes along they don't know and how to act. So we go over all those things, kind of a prep program for kids. We teach a lot of jiu-jitsu in there too. The 7 to 12 year old kids, now they're a little more mature and they're ready to start taking a big piece of the information as far as like martial arts classes. So in that class, we teach them Taekwondo blended with Muay Thai kickboxing, blended with Gracie jiu-jitsu, so that they are well-rounded. They can kick, punch, clinch, and grapple. And that's where, you know, in today's world, we see a lot of self-defense situations end up, is on the ground. So they need to know that too. So when they come out with a junior black belt, not only are they focused, but they're also well-rounded as a martial artist. And you're gonna see things like respect and self-discipline at home through the program, because that's the most important thing that we're teaching the kids. And that is, hey, we don't want them to learn all these skills and not showing respect and saying yes ma'am and no ma'am and doing their chores at home. That's really what it's all about.
Yo, it is so good to be back. What's up, Sojourners? This is Obey, your host. Welcome back to the Podyssey. I have missed you guys, and I've got a really good one today. So today's podcast is going to be basically, I guess we're going to call it Elder Millennials. I'm going to steal Eliza Schlesinger's Netflix special. Go check it out. I just thought it was a really funny title, and I think this is kind of like the topic of today. I invited three of my really, really good friends to kind of just talk about a various amount of topics. So first, let's do some introductions. So, Freddie Mac, go ahead.
Yo, I'm Freddie Mac, Roanoke, Virginia. Born and raised in Maryland, though. I still got my 301 area.
Never forget. Let them know. Never forget.
Let them know.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, that's it. That's all.
That's it.
You got a laundry list. Tell them who you is.
Your resume's too long. You ain't got to tell them.
Are you Freddie Mac? That's who you is.
That'll do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll give my resume since I ain't nobody. All right. My name's Gabe, a.k.a. G-Baby. Wedding DJ, mogul, entrepreneur. I have a photo booth. I have a sock business.
He already said mogul.
It's everything. I gotta encompass it. I gotta tell them what those things are. Gotta speak it into existence. That's who I am. Also, my personal account, Cinnamon Sensation. That's my alter ego. But yeah, that's who I am.
All right, Josh Pugh, JP Pugh, whatever. Mm-hmm. A few months ago, it would be recruitment department, Liberty University, but felt God right. calling me to full-time ministry. So I am at Bedrock Community Church,
nice.
Working in the student ministry there, loving it.
What are the times of the services? You tell us.
Yeah. We got 9:15 for that's the early birds. That's okay. Where I'm at.
That's not bad.
Yeah, you know, 9:15 too early for me.
I come you at 11, yeah. 11 o'clock.
11? Oh, that's even better.
That's the perfect one.
Yeah.
That's 11.
I like that.
Yeah, come
like
through.
That. So our first topic today I wanted to do is forging your own path. Mm. So each of us here have kind of, you know, since leaving high school and then leaving college, have chosen different paths, different things. And I just kind of want to let, you know, the Sojourners, the fans of this podcast, to kind of just listen in on, like, the journey it's been for each of us, you know. So, for you, anyone that wants to jump in, like, how's it been since you left college, since you left, not high school, college, and that journey till now? Because I feel like, you know, the title of this is Elder Millennials, and we're now getting closer to 30, and, you know, some of us, actually all three of y'all are married, I'm not. And so,
sorry, she coming. You know how I feel about it. I ain't gonna put you on blast.
Your blessing is on your way. Yeah, on his way.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. So like, amen. as you guys have been forging your
season
path.
Season 2 of the Podyssey.
Yeah. Are we on? What season?
Season 1. All right. So, what has been some things you thought going in, and then you were like, "Wow, this is way different than what I thought."
Well, for one, I thought my degree would mean more. That's a fact.
Preach.
And that's after a bachelor's and a master's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like for one, I mean, like I've obviously dabbled in things that were particular to my degree more or less. Like it kind of encompassed what I had been doing already, not necessarily like what my degree was in, but I had experience in certain things. So other jobs opened up based off of what I've been doing, you know, but some of it, more or less, like some of it's been dabbling into, you know, what I've been familiar with. But like my main goal is to be an entrepreneur or a businessman.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with my degree at all. Mm-hmm. And I didn't need a degree to do any of those things. Like, so I think.
But why did you go on that path, Gabe? Like, you know how, like, sometimes I don't think we ever think back to like, what made me think I got to do this?
Yeah.
And then eventually you just realize yourself, like, you know?
I mean, I feel like we've always been told, like, you got to go to college. You got to get a degree.
What's the safe play?
It's a safe play. Yeah. You know, so, but I feel, I mean, some people will say, like, this is the way of the millennial. Like, they think this way and you have to be, have a job or be in a job that you're passionate about in order to do that job. Like back in the day, like you got all the old heads tell us, man, back in the day we do a job because it was a job and it paid the bills. Like we, it's a new era, like a new generation of you know, businessmen, of entrepreneurs, of people, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't have that calling necessarily. Like my calling is to be in something that I'm really passionate about or be involved in something that I'm really passionate about.
That's right.
You know, so like just turned out where like it just clicked for me a little bit after college. I was like, man, like I don't want to work for somebody my whole life. Like I don't want to check in, clock out my whole life. I want to be my own man, like be my own businessman, you know? So I don't know. That was, you know, rude awakening after college.
Yeah. It can be, it can be different for everybody.
Yeah.
I tell a lot of people this because I'm one of those weird people who knew what they wanted to do forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that's a rare. That's rare because it wasn't even me. Yeah.
Not everybody. And it's I like to do all the same things Gabe does. I got a business, a DJ business. I'm an MC. You know, I'm a business owner. And that means a lot to me, obviously. I'm very passionate about that. I don't want to be working for someone else my entire life either. I want to be able to work on my own, have my own. Own my own. And but I had this media thing with radio and TV. It was always what I wanted to do. So like back to the elementary school, I was in like, I went to a magnet program and they have like all these special, the magnet school, and they have all these special programs for different clubs after school.
You have the
science
voice
club.
Back then? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That
the
nice
register?
Deep baritone. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not even sure. But I just knew that that was something that interests me. Video. So initially going into college was, I want to be on ESPN. I want to be on TV.
Right.
But that quickly changed into audio or just more radio and got an internship, so on and so on. And up until, I mean, you know, 2015, when I got hired full time in radio, I had worked a couple of, I want to call them odd jobs, but I feel like they all had something to do with my preparation for what I'm doing and where I'm going.
Right.
So call centers and retail and all that kind of stuff, while I still had my eye on the prize.
You were still exercising the voice. Nothing was wasted along the journey.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
And now, you know what? I don't know if it really occurred to me as until now.
It never
as
does.
Far as like using your voice and the customer service aspect of all of that. You are using your voice talking to people in a call center, you know, obviously. Yeah. So,
question for you. Freddie Mac, did you follow at all Charlamagne the God, or were you like, yo, I want to produce, you know, the next Breakfast Club? Was that ever like a thing for you in radio? Or what was your lane where you were like, because, you know, maybe when you were looking at ESPN, you saw Stuart Scott.
Right.
You know, but when you got into radio, who were you looking to as like, that's the thing, it's like the comparison game comes in so quick.
Yeah.
You know, and that was hard for me.
Yeah, it's hard to stay away from that. But I think remain in focus. I never wanted to be like anybody else.
Yeah.
Now I can aspire or model my career. I was talking to somebody about this earlier today. I can model my career after one or two or a bunch of different people and admire their story and their journey and everything as I do. However, I still want to be just me.
Yeah.
I want to be like I want to be the only version or the best version of myself.
Yeah.
And you know, so I admire Charlamagne. I love his story. I read both his books. I listen to his podcast every week. You know, I read Elvis Duran's book, Angie Martinez. All these people I look at as radio moguls, media moguls, Ryan Seacrest. And I still do. I tell people I want to be the black Freddie Mac version of Ryan Seacrest.
That's right. Yeah. Come on, speak
it. That's just what I want to do. I want to do radio and TV, and I'm doing a little bit of that now. Mm-hmm. Thanks. You know, I'm thankful to be doing that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want to be myself. Mm-hmm. I want to remain grounded, like in myself and doing my own thing, doing it my way, and not trying to be like somebody else or someone that's come before me.
Right.
But still model and take advice and all those
things. To keep that authenticity is hard throughout the journey.
Oh, yeah.
But you quickly realize that authenticity is what is going to give you that purpose, that joy, and also keep making you money.
It's like, going to sustain you.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I think that, like, we went through our journeys sometimes, and we forgot that, like, the reason people came, the reason people bought in was because they liked, you know, G-Baby, the DJ. Yeah.
They like you, Freddie Mac. They like you for you. They don't like me.
Right.
For Charlamagne, like if that makes any sense,
right.
They already got Charlamagne. Something about me attracts them to me, and I'm grateful and I'm glad to be doing. I'm humbled by that and everything, but yeah, like no, being yourself in whatever field you're in, whatever it is that you're doing, that is how you win. That is how you succeed, and that's different to everybody. Right. Success and all those things. It could mean money to one person and something totally different to the next. But you know, you could feel good about yourself and feel successful in your own right by doing it your way. Right. Don't be in yourself, you know.
I look at this table and I see four guys that are all comms guys, and I'm kind of wondering each of y'all what drew y'all to communications. Like I know for me it was like I just love people. I wanted to invest in people. And communicating a message in a creative way was a really big draw for me. Cause kind of like Freddie Mac, I started, you know, watching ESPN and I want to be a journalist, sports journalist. And I might have fell into the trap of the safe play of, you know, newspapers are going out the window. So that's half your jobs, Josh. You really want to go into journalism? Like I heard that from a guidance counselor.
Yeah.
So I transitioned to communications and got advertising and public relations and I loved it. But there's this thing in the back of my mind is like, what if I would have stuck with it? What would have happened?
Sure.
But ultimately for me, it was, I want to invest in people and being able to communicate a message creatively and effectively. That's the biggest draw for me. And that's what, you know, kind of what drew me into ministry is because the biggest message I want to communicate is the gospel. Mm-hmm. And how can we do that creatively and effectively? But for each of y'all, what kind of drew y'all into the communication field? I know Freddie Mac kind of spoke on that, but just going a little deeper into communications, because it's a wide-reaching, wide-arching degree. It's a catch-all, really.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, like, I guess, like, it really started off as something that I love people in general. Like it's everything, you know, to me, like the little dabble of personal life, like friends were like some of the most important thing in my life, like growing up, you know, like being, you know, where I'm from, like friends were family, you know? So like being involved with people like was a deeper element to me. So to me, but when it started off, communications wasn't necessarily like, all right, this is something that, like I knew I can use my people's or what I can use my people skills with as far as what it really equates to a degree in.
Yeah.
I already knew I communicate and relate to people. Like communication is just like that validation to somebody else that I can do that, you know? So that's how it started. Yeah, that's what they call it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like I knew I was the best at it. It was just like, it was a degree that went along with something that I love to do anyways.
Right.
You know, and then it formulated obviously into something else. Like it didn't necessarily end like per se the communications field, like, but I'm working with people like on a, you know, day-to-day basis, and that's like the best thing, you know? So
I think mine was a little bit different because I've always been someone that felt like I could have went so many different paths and I struggled with just picking one thing. And I went into college kind of like how Gabe was talking about earlier, just felt like I had to be there. So I just went with business because I was like, oh, that seems like, you know, a good starting place. And I just remember sitting in classes just hating. Like, I mean, I'm not someone that likes to quit things. And I was like, man, maybe college ain't for me. Like, I really was thinking that, and I didn't know how to bring it to my dad. And I remember taking a communications elective class. And sometimes the right people, like your counselor that came to you, come into your life, and they just change everything. And so for me, it was like, yo, wait, like, I'm taking this class. This professor is really dope. And this communications class is like really, really dope. Like we're sitting in a circle. We're having deep conversations. We're challenging our vocabulary. We're challenging our diction. We're challenging ourselves to be better with communication. It was just a basic, you know, speech class. And I just was blown away by it. And I thought, what is comms? And I just looked into it, did my research, and then I felt like this, if I was gonna spend money, and in hindsight, I probably too. Right.
Like,
right.
I'm gonna spend my dollars. I'm gonna spend my dollars.
Thinking back, I still would have done it now.
Fact.
But if I was gonna spend $100,000,
we'll come back to that too. Right. We gotta come back to that. Would we have spent them dollars?
No, let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. Because I know for myself.
Fact. No.
Comms was the most worth it, but definitely was overpriced.
You telling me Dr. Allison's class, who I'm gonna say this up right
so
here.
So you gonna say his name?
My dude. Oh, I'm calling you out, Dr. A. You know what you did. My dude. At the beginning of class, would come to class. First of all, comms major didn't know how to set up anything. He's struggling how to put the HDMI cord into the computer to play a YouTube video.
Yeah, 15 minutes to get the video.
15 minutes. That's the start of the class. 45-minute class. 15 minutes gone. Right. So we got 30 minutes of the rest of the class. My dude walk up, tell us a little story about the video that's about to happen. When he pressed play, it was like he was gifting us something that we ain't never seen before. Like, we ain't know how to access YouTube.
Come on.
Like us.
This is how we grew up.
Right.
He acted like he had changed.
We are the YouTube generation.
When he pressed the space bar, it was a new.
And you see people taking notes, and I'm just like, what?
Like, we didn't know the space bar was the play button.
I love
it. We didn't know.
I love when professors act like what they had prepped for was going to blow your mind, and they realize how simple it was because they just haven't been blessed with, like, being technologically savvy.
Right.
So, like, he would remember Martin Luther King Day.
That's what I was about to say. When he put the speech, he put I Have a Dream speech.
The way he, like, built it up and put the speech and left the room.
Right.
Like, picked up and gathered and stuff.
Like, we haven't heard. Like
who my dude, like, my dude.
My work
my
here
dude,
is done.
My dude, I Have a Dream. Like, I know my dude.
Like, if there was, like if there was a racist person in the room, he's like, you know what? I don't feel like that.
I just solved it.
Right, exactly. Like, bro, we've heard this speech before, and when he's to me, that was one of the, like, prime examples of, like, you got me. College, you got me. You did it. Right. You did your thing. You got me.
And that's when you knew it was junior year, and it was like, well, I got to finish now.
Because that's 1,500, 2,000 right there, that class.
And I was like, YouTube videos. You got me.
Listen, if you're listening to this right now, you need to understand, for anybody that's, like, 18 to, like, freshman year high school, what you are about to do, what we're joking about right now, is you are making a business decision. All four of us here
100%
have made a lot of business decisions in our lives. And so, as your elder millennials, we were reaching out to you and saying, this is a bit, don't let anybody else lie to you.
Don't let them fool you.
Whatever that class costs, you need to realize, would I give Freddie Mac $5,000 to teach me Radio 101? No.
Because I'm going to take it.
Right.
As the business, as the school, as the whatever.
That's not including his fees for his hair.
Utility.
That's not
grooming board.
Right.
Like,
no, it's a big decision.
You're making a decision to be on ramen and PB&J for about 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's an all business transaction.
Right.
You know, like, let's not reach to the, you know, Barry Sanders. Like, let's not reach to the, you know, free college for all situation. We ain't there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's a business. Take a gap year. Go to community college. Like, if your college ain't free for you,
I completely agree. But just devil's advocate, what would you say to the people that say a bachelor's degree is the new GED? Like, you have to have it to even get that first job. Do you think that's completely false?
It's so false. When you talk about social media and the internet and the impact that it's had on the young generation, when somebody who is, let's talk about the newest thing, which is Rhythm and Flow, the Netflix special, right?
Right.
Have you watched it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yo, like, crazy awesome. Like, it's young, like, rappers from all over the United States, like, are selected by some top hip hop artists. And a lot of these are, like, social media artists, or just from that. Dudes went from, and I tracked it myself, 10,000-15,000 followers on Instagram to over a million. Like, D-Smoke, the winner.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Nah, we are.
The winner. All right, bet.
Yeah.
Like, D-Smoke, the winner, over 1 million followers from, and he had Inglewood High Spanish teacher and music teacher.
Yeah.
Went from a few followers to over 1 million. The impact of social media.
The exposure.
Exposure is crazy. And that's how people can translate social media and anything that they do online into a business so fast.
Yeah.
And when you got some high schoolers come out who can, like, code or do things on, like, social media and marketing, or photography. Like, let's talk about our business, wedding business.
Yeah.
Through photography, videography, you know, people that surrounding us right now, you don't necessarily need to have a degree to do that. But you can create a business all online so easy.
Right. So you're saying coming in with a foundation of like a business model of what you want to do. Because everybody needs training to a degree.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So the engineers of the world, the doctors, the nurses, those are all
take that gap year to get equipped to be like, all right, this is what I'm going to do.
If you're in STEM, go ahead and go to college.
Yeah. But those degrees that you need, you have to have.
We're talking to about 67% of the population that needs to understand. Again, the topic right now we're talking about is forging the path, right?
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about a path and you're thinking about getting from point A to point B, unless you are Freddie Mac and you already knew God woke you up in
kindergarten, grade school,
your baritone voice already they put you all the way to the left.
Silky. Yeah. And if you're just different. Right. You know what I mean?
Like, so when you got that Marvin Gaye voice, you know you go on the radio.
Yes.
Right.
So it's like for those people that don't, do not mistake this degree as, okay, I do this and I get a guaranteed job, because you need to understand, you're thinking about job 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
Do I need to be an entrepreneur? Like, think about it. Like, with everything that you're doing and you're trying to build, you know, as long as it's outside of these degrees, right, you have to be the decision maker. So if you're doing, you know, you're starting your own sock business, so you need to know business. If you don't know it,
first failed company, by the way, was the sock business. That was my first like big move, major investment.
Life's the best teacher.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 100%.
But I needed that.
And what that taught me was, and you know, little side note is, get mentors. Mm. Get people around you that invest in you and communicate to you, and really the ones that pour into you. One of the biggest advice that my mentor told me says, stay in your lane. Stay in something that you are familiar with. I got into a business that I really had no idea how to run, how to manage, how to market. Like, as far as, you know, there's so many ways, like Facebook ad advertisements, stuff like that. The way to scale it properly, like, is so huge.
Yeah.
And it's hundreds and hundreds of hours. And I spent thousands of dollars of trying to figure that animal out. And it wasn't it. Like, so for me, I took a step back and said, what is accepting right now? And what was creeping in the back was DJing.
Yeah.
Like, just creeping up. Yeah. And then it was a business that accepted me. And it was like, yo, like, you got this. Whatever the sauce you got, we want. Yeah. You know, and shout out to my boy Pew, was the first like official wedding that I DJed.
Let's go.
Like, we had the two little speakers and the wire mic
and a
little
cord and aux cord,
like, just give your cousin the aux cord to press play.
But it was the personality. Yeah. It was the natural talents and abilities and the passions that he had. That's what led you to the next two weddings that you had, because they saw that's where the value's
at. Potential.
Right. Yeah.
That's where the value's
at. That's what I'm saying. But see, that's what I'm saying is, if you're going to be on this path, you got to understand, like, hey, I may fail.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to point, whatever, for Gabe is to be that mogul, right?
Right.
And so do I give someone, because you also got to think, like, that $150,000, if you gave that to yourself in a loan, business loan.
It'd be different from, you give me $150,000 when I'm 18, as opposed to right now.
Exactly.
World's different.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's
world's different.
So be smarter.
Be smart. Right.
If you're on that younger end.
Yeah.
Right. If you're in high school. And
think a couple moves ahead.
Yeah.
I think to close this out, all we're saying is, if you need to go to college, go to college. But if you're not, if you don't understand where you're going, be ready to understand this is a business move. So you need to understand you're writing yourself a check that needs to be paid back to the person that gave you that money.
Right.
Just like if you bought a car, that person still wants that money for that car.
Fact.
Right.
So if you're going to do it, be thinking 10, 5 years. Don't be thinking, oh, it guarantees me a job if I go to college. What kind of quality job is that?
Exactly.
And is that even a job that gets you? So if you working the phones as an admissions counselor at a college, you got a job.
Yeah,
you said your goal was a job.
But you got $100,000+ in debt and you only making $28,000.
Exactly. After taxes.
You're talking about
closer to 20.
Yeah. Like, you ain't got nothing in the bank.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You surviving. You know? And it's the difference between surviving and thriving.
Right.
You know?
So looking back as a high school student, I was told, you know, a lot of times you almost got to pick when you're forging your own path. Am I going to pick money or am I going to pick my passions? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lie.
It's a struggle that
people believe that, all right, am I going to pick the career choice that makes me the most money seemingly, you know, the doctor, lawyer, all this different thing, or am I just going to be, you know, side hustle DJ? Right. DJ doesn't make any money.
Right, right.
But look at you now. Look at all y'all here now.
Right.
And I think that y'all chose y'all's passions. Mm-hmm. And I think down the line, then comes the money.
Yeah.
Like you had to fail. You had to grow
100%.
In your business. But you chose your passions and the money came because that aligned with who you were as a person and your talents and abilities. Failure was able to shine.
I want to make sure I make like my journey up into this point clear too, just how I feel like Gabe didn't just, I'm going to start DJing and it's everything just, you know what I'm saying? You start making all this money, you get all this exposure. And the same for myself, like it wasn't some overnight success. Like that does not exist for anybody. And if it does, it's like the 1%.
Less than that. Luck. Less than that. Because you can talk about it, the winners of Wither and Flow were all DJing for like, or rapping for years.
These people are not like 16. These people are full on adults, like families and everything.
Yep.
This is not no overnight success. You have to be, you're passionate about it. Yeah. You put in that work. You stick with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully. Yeah. It works out. you know what I'm saying? It's all you're really throwing a Hail Mary on whichever path you choose, whether it is to go to college and get a degree in whatever field, or if you're just like, you know what, I'm gonna take a chance on me and not go to college, not get a degree, or whatever.
Also, I'll just say, if you're listening to, like, if you want the overnight success, understand what that comes with. Because if you forge your own path and let yourself like go through the maturation process, then you are ready for when God provides that opportunity.
When success happens.
But if you get that overnight success and you ain't ready, you know what I'm saying? Like, D-Smoke now has pressure. We wait on this album. We expect it to be really good.
But he was the most ready and prepared for that level of success.
When that door is open.
When you put in the years.
Right.
That's what I can tell myself is that
he's 33. Like he was so ready that the next one behind him was 32.
Right.
The other two people were in their 20s. Mm-hmm. You know, early 20s.
With anything that you're doing, you have to realize that, like, when that time comes, if you're not ready, you've wasted the time that God gave you to prepare yourself. You've wasted that time, and that's what I always fear, is that, like, man, I started a podcast this year. If it blew up, I ain't ready for it to blow up. I ain't ready for the expectations. I don't know everything about audio. I'm learning. I'm growing. In 5 years, maybe God's like, now's the time to get all those followers. And I'm like, I've invested the right money. I know what I'm doing. I have the right team around me. And I'm ready to build an entertaining product. If a TV show came to me, Nickelodeon came to me right now, I'd be like, am I ready? Because I know. The money sounds good, but I'd rather be ready. And all you guys,
that's so hard, man. That is so hard.
Oh, yeah,
it's needed. But if somebody come at you with a check like that, it's so hard to have that self discipline to say, not yet.
I've said yes to the money and failed and realized.
Yeah, that mustard seed that you got right there. I don't even know if I got that. Like that strength to be like, yo, Nick Logan gave me 100 stacks to say, yo, man, we like your voice, we like what you're saying. Come with a full script, like ready.
Yeah.
I might, let me cash that and figure it out on the way. That's hard. That's like some true strength to be like, look, I myself am not ready for like this next move. You know what I mean? And that is also very key. Like to know, like, not necessarily your limits, but know your time. Really know yourself, know your time, be very self-aware.
Humble yourself.
That comes from making some mistakes.
That comes from making mistakes with time. With time. Fact.
Yeah. No. That's a good point.
And we ain't old. Like, I mean, we've been through some things. Right, sure. You know what I mean? Some things.
So speaking on that, like when you look at the culture today, how do y'all feel about it? Like, you know, as we're looking at like everything that has happened with our culture and it's starting to like morph and. You know, for some reason, we're the generation. Maybe this happened to every generation. We just are more aware because of social media. It feel like the hate towards millennials, people in our age bracket, is so weird to me because we provide so many great things and we're building so many great things. And we provided the
ability to hate though. Like we provided a way for people to see more, at least.
We ushered in the digital age.
We opened it up, technology,
were on the forefront of that. But of course, people behind us are going to develop that even more. I think that key of, like you were saying, being seen of video and social media, that's us. That's our generation that kind of created that and birthed that into existence.
So as you guys look at that, like all this stuff happened. So the iPhone came out in 2007. Social media has been around for about 10 years. You know, so about when we, which is kind of crazy, we're starting college. Social media started getting really big. So
right.
We're 10 years in. How do y'all feel about like the cancel culture, the woke culture, the way culture is today? Are we healthy? Do we feel like it was a good trade-off from back in the day when it was just like, hey, gay.
You ain't know nothing.
Yeah, you know, it's like just a group text or like AOL and that was funny and that was it. And you spent 8 hours on your MySpace, you know.
I mean, memes are life, right? Oh, your first, and Tom was your best friend? Right. Like your first friend?
Oh, yeah.
And everyone got upset.
You spent hours trying to figure out, bro, my layout, my page, all right, what song I'm going to get. Because when you come to my MySpace page,
you got to know how
what's
I'm feeling.
What's the energy when they enter the page?
I had a Raphael Sadiq song. I thought girls were going to be like, bro, just bro, messaging me like,
bro, it's Chris Brown all the way. Chris Brown all the way.
Like, they were gonna be so blown. Like, bro, he didn't pick Chris Brown.
You got the perfect wallpaper with the song, and you just sit back.
What? Like, hey, bro, when With You came out, if I was playing With You, you know I had a new boo. If I was playing Say Goodbye, you know that boo had to go goodbye. You know what I mean? Like my song represented my emotions so key. It was such a key element to my day.
Honestly.
Like, before you checked in with me in middle school, check my MySpace.
Come on.
Check my MySpace.
Y'all remember how you have a talk with your boy and you knew how it went depending on how you were on his MySpace, like top eight?
Fact. Switch around.
Oh, I'm six?
Tim,
so we cool,
like,
but you dropped me from third to six.
Yep. Tim, you gonna do me like that in math class? All right,
you threw that bow in gym class? Yep. Nah.
Right.
Yep. 12.
Right.
Yep. That meant 12.
And the girl, and it was all, and it was always that girl that was cute that would just rise up towards the front. Fact. And you were hoping she would notice. Fact. Like, yo, she's second. How's she not noticing what I'm trying to tell her?
And your girlfriend would give you something. She'll say something to you if she wasn't number one.
Yes.
Oh, you, I thought that was your girlfriend.
Fact.
It meant everything.
Heck yeah. You knew you played off. You make that. Tom your number one friend. You ain't got to worry about none of that drama.
Right. That's Tom. Everybody's friends, Tom.
Everybody's
friend with Tom. But so now we have all these friends, but it looks like we all struggle with loneliness. We have all this connection, and we getting
so
hot
high,
at like
bro.
People's opinions, and I'm like, yo, that's the whole point. Yeah. Like, we started to know everyone's opinions.
Right. When did that become the time when you could just say, oh, you said something I don't agree with?
Yeah.
It's over for you.
Yeah.
Or you said something back in the day that isn't acceptable now. You've evolved? You know what I'm saying?
America is so
soft.
Yeah. So soft.
What do you mean by soft?
It's looking somebody in the eye. It's like, it's easy that you can hide behind your Twitter fingers, but like when you're right across from somebody in a coffee shop, are you really going to talk like that? Mm-hmm. You're not going to talk like that.
You can't say nothing.
And people can check you a lot quicker.
Yeah.
You can't just block them and be like, that. I think we're living in woke culture in echo chambers. Like, I feel like whatever belief I have, I can find a group of people that believe me. And because that, it strengthens my resolve and my belief, whether it's right or wrong.
You can find your niche.
And that creates that friction and that animosity and that identity politics and everything else.
Right. But that
echo chamber of like, I'm right. Like, this is the right thing. But I think when you're around a table like this with a lot of different views, you're able to kind of sand off those rough edges of your beliefs.
That's what I love about this table, this podcast, is that everyone comes here. I don't care who you are, your political beliefs. You come here, I'm going to sit across from you. I'm going to respect you. I may not agree with you, but we go talk. What I love about this podcast is that it kind of returns back to this old form that we don't do anymore. Like four friends meeting at a table to discuss.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm looking you straight in the eye.
Yeah.
And so it's like, imagine, I heard a concept on a podcast. They said, what if we did where you could have a room and you could do like a pop-up across the country. And if you are a Democrat or you're just, more liberal, you get on this side, and you're more conservative, more red, you get on this side. You don't know who's on the other side. Door opens and you can see they sit down and like talk. Like maybe you do like the Hot Wings challenge. Yeah. You just talk. I'm like, so I have a question for you.
I wonder why we ain't got chicken wings now. Now I'm wondering like why we ain't. Like, Popeyes just announced that the sandwiches
we should
are back.
Bags.
Like,
bags
right. We should,
with the buns. You ain't got to bring the buns.
Sidebar. How black of a company do you have to be to say we won, lose your debate, and come back as if like...
Right. We're still here.
Like, they acted like
ate 2 bucks.
I said, bro,
since the last chicken sandwich.
I said, y'all been cooking in these in the back. Hurry up.
Yeah.
Like, y'all had your grandma. Did they bust in grandma's to make...
the audacity.
The blackest thing they did was when they had the nerve to say, bring your own buns.
Bring your own buns, bro.
That's what I didn't have to know who was on the board of trustees. I said, there are some black people on the board of trustees.
You got to love it, because
Chick-fil-A would never do that. Chick-fil-A would never announce a sandwich and be like, hey, we out. But if you come back with a bun,
I got you. You know what? Honestly, Chick-fil-A would not run out. You would never hit it, have you?
Bro, now you're talking about faith now.
Like, Chick-fil-A
like,
ain't...
Like, now you're talking about where my faith lies. Like,
I know this is way up,
but... You going into some deeper stuff now. Because Chick-fil-A, like, that's on some, like... That's on some, like, gosh,
Chick-fil-A. I'm trying, right.
That's, I don't
right.
want to be blasphemous. Yeah, yeah, that's holy ground.
Right.
That's holy ground.
Right. As God is faithful, I know Chick-fil-A will always be faithful.
Pick us anointed. You know what I mean? That's right.
It hasn't... Let's think about it. Chick-fil-A hasn't been around forever. When they first came out with the greatest chicken sandwich or whatever they want to call it, everything. You don't think people was right, like lying out the door?
Right.
I don't really remember. You know what I'm saying? I never heard anything about a shortage or bring your own buns.
Or bring your own pickles.
Well, that's ridiculous.
What happened? What is it? How many? Two loaves of three fish? Or how many?
Pastor J.
Three fish, five loaves of bread.
Did he run out?
I got you, bro.
Did he run out?
It kind of came out of nowhere. Like,
he just kept
two fish.
Two fish. Oh, okay. Appreciate it.
What?
Producer Troy letting us make sure we biblically correct.
Yeah, thank you. Open up this
on the Podyssey now. Hey, we about to open it up, bro.
The flame run out.
Oh, shoot, man. That's too
It's real.
Well, also, last point on the Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A. By the way, Chick-fil-A won. They have the best sandwich. But what kills me the most with Popeyes is they acted like they ain't had 30-some years. I was like, bruh, it's 2019.
Yeah.
You just now coming out with chicken sandwich?
Yeah. You've been abusing Angie Mama for too long. Like,
you've had
like,
years to just slow roll this.
Abusing, you know?
Like, I'm just saying.
I think meme culture really is what brought him to the map. Like, it was almost a joke at first. It was like, Popeye's coming on. Like, Chick-fil-A got to look out. And all of a sudden, everybody was like,
because Chick-fil-A was like the Patriots. Yeah, and we were like,
social media, like, took it off. I remember really I seen did. It on Craigslist. They were selling Popeye's sandwiches.
Bro, were you
with the off-white band.
You
like,
with the
white
be like, babe, I got to fuck.
Bro, I was like, it's not real, bro. It's not real.
Right. It's no way.
What?
Yeah.
Like,
bro, it's real.
And people made some money.
The off-white band.
Oh, fat. Bro, the Popeye's chicken sandwiches was on StockX for a whole day. Bro.
And that's what, like, that's what social
for real,
media,
for real.
That's
flipping
what social media
profit.
Will do to you. That's one of the bad things social media can the influence they can have, right?
Because
you think, I'm thinking, I ain't even see the commercial for the chicken sandwich, but I seen it all over my Twitter timeline, over Instagram.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, they marketed it. Now I gotta try it. I gotta see what this is about.
But like, we're talking
about. Did you think they marketed or they saw like people being funny with it and like and was like, oh, are we
no,
on
no, no,
it?
No, no, no. I think they knew what they were. I think these companies are too big.
You think they're that smart?
No, I think what
not with social media. They didn't know it was going
to
take off like that.
No. I think they tried to get the spark going,
but they capitalized on it.
Right,
they
capitalized on it.
They knew that it would bring heat with Chick-fil-A.
Right,
because even Wendy's tried to slide in there. Like, we've been having the OG.
Sit out.
Ain't nobody
I gotta wait 15 minutes in the drive-thru, and I'm the only one there every time I'm at Wendy's.
I don't get why they don't copy Chick-fil-A. They'd be surprised. I can't stand the other fast food restaurants.
McDonald's, Wendy's,
Burger King, can y'all help me out? Popeyes,
call
KFC,
them out.
Can y'all help me out?
Tell them.
Can y'all stop acting like y'all surprised that I'm waiting for quick service, hot and ready, and what I asked for is on the sandwich? Like the fact
why,
that they
why is this a
it's
shock
like
to
they're
you?
Like peasant. Are you asking for a sandwich? I'm like,
can I get an extra barbecue sauce? You got 35 cents.
Yeah,
what 35 cents? 35 cents.
And I gotta dig through my middle console.
Right.
And get all that grease and stuck together.
Like Oliver Twist, man.
Bro, you don't swipe my car for 35 cents?
Maybe on the thing. Excuse me, just 1 second.
Bro, was it?
There's
it
no one else. What you?
And nobody
I just
here.
Pulled up.
And nobody here.
There's no one else here.
They hate.
All right, go ahead. And you right, say though. It.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, what's going on inside that we need? Like, we got.
Yo, 2 days ago, I was in the drive-thru and I hear him. He's like, oh, just wait a second. And I heard something come up from behind me. He had the headset on. He was walking to his car and still talking to me. He said, we locked eyes. I said, he said, what's up, bro?
You lying.
You got the headset on at the car?
Bruh.
And he was like, just a second. I was like, okay. And somebody come up behind me. I was like,
we man down. Manifestation. Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A be giving double heart surgery and be like, wait, don't worry, we'll have the baby.
They be literally delivering babies. And then,
they just give them different.
Free Chick-fil-A for the,
what is this hiring process like?
How y'all like that?
It's different.
Your phone cracked. They fix it in the back. It's ready with your sandwich by the time you get through. I'm like,
I got faith in that line. You know what I'm saying? It's not a long line. It's a long line, but it goes fast.
It's so like, fast.
I've pulled up so many times at peak lunchtime. Yes. And I say, you know what?
By faith.
I'll be all right.
By faith.
I'll get back to work on time.
My dude Jeffrey will walk to the back of the line. He'll go through each of them that own cars and come to me, my dog, what you need. I give him my three strips. Put my little skin coat in. I'm out. Yeah, unless it's 10.
It's nothing.
Even if it's wrapped around the building. Insane. Jeffrey at Chick-fil-A got me. That's all I got
to say. And maybe that's a synopsis with our culture, because the most loudest brands,
right,
the most aggressive brand, they be subtweeting each other. They be tweeting Chick-fil-A, y'all okay?
Talking
smack, and Chick-fil-A just be, I'm out here,
slow turn,
focus on me.
Yeah. Yep,
ain't keep worried about down, nobody. Keep working.
Yep.
And hey, what? You want to shut down our restaurant in Canada because of our president's viewpoint on one thing? It's a religious viewpoint. Mm. We gonna be out here slinging. Yep.
We still out here.
Slowly
out
but
here.
Surely.
We out here.
You think that's gonna stop us?
And why do you think more businesses can't be like emulate this that model of just like, look, I'm gonna do me.
They can't humble themselves.
Now I'm not out here to be this mega giant, a trend. What I just like try to like pummel every other business. I'm gonna just do me.
Right.
Why can't businesses just emulate that model? I'm not saying like Chick-fil-A is the centerpiece for that. In general, like why can't
business? I think Twitter has caused a syndrome in these execs. They really look at it and be like, oh, this is how we're going to get. They really think these followers are going to monetize. They really think that like, oh, if we go viral in this, they don't realize at the end of the day, these principles have to be the same. And then, like, it's like in your real life, it's like, ooh, I went viral with this tweet because I was petty and I had a little clapback. But I would never tweet that rapper.
Right.
Like that in real life.
Right.
Catch some hands. I would never be that slick.
Nobody want to pants.
Right.
You feel
trigger fingers for the Twitter fingers. Like it would never happen like that.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, I think our culture for some reason just like they see the likes and the tallies and the hearts and the double taps, and they're like, oh, like people really like my sermon because they double tap. It's like you gotta get back to the grind of just like, no. Yeah. I'm doing this with an audience of one, and if nobody says anything, God's at work.
So you think it goes back to like the mission statement and vision instead of like the immediate needs?
Yes. I throw myself that.
Because that'll carry you on farther than looking around. Like, if you have your eyes fixed on, all right, what's my vision? What's our mission statement?
That'll carry you
farther than just like your immediate, like, all right, this is what I need to get to do right this week.
Yes.
Have that longer cast of like, all right, this is my mission, this is my calling, this is my vision.
Yes.
And I'm gonna carry it out.
You gotta, and you always gotta come back to it and be okay with coming back to it and reminding yourself, because when you get into the comparison game, you'll forget and you'll be like, oh, I need to be like A, B, C, or D, and not realize,
bro, for sure,
this is where I need to be.
Right.
Being G Baby, being Freddie Mac, being Josh Pugh, being Obey.
Let me get the fundamentals down first.
Yeah.
Because like every journey is a journey for a reason, right? You don't just start out on top. It's just not the way it goes. There's something for you to learn at every stage. So we here on level whatever, and you seeing somebody that's doing better than you seemingly, quote unquote, or more popular, more celebrity, whatever. But that's them.
Yeah.
That ain't you. That ain't your journey. And even if that will be you one day, that's not where you are right now.
Yep. And I had a real humbling experience last year with something like that, where a DJ that I was with, you know, I was at this event and like I messed up like bad. It was like bad. And, you know, like he was like saying all type of stuff about me. And later in that night, he invited me to his tour bus, you know, to come chop up about some things. And I was pissed. I was like, I ain't about this dude. Like, this dude just insulted me in my craft. Like, I ain't about to go meet this dude. But this dude was light years ahead of me, like on like where I was. And I was like, I need to humble myself. Let me go learn something from him.
Right. Yeah.
And he got something to teach me. If I need to be more, I'm the one that needs to be more receptive and open to go learn from this person that I can then maybe if I'm lucky enough to be one day to be in his shoes and carry that weight better or perform better or whatever.
Right.
So I think now, like, I look at it, you know, social media can be so toxic. Like, it can. Because you're looking at what people's doing, where people are going. Or
you see everybody's highlight reel.
You see everybody's highlight reel.
Version of themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. So now I'm trying to say, like, all right, instead of me being like, man, I wish I was there, I always try to think about what did it take for them to get to that position? What did they have to do to be this great? And I want to know what that process is.
Yeah.
I want to know what your process is to get to this height of your career.
Yeah.
How do I do that? Because that's like the missing key for a lot of people. Yeah. We don't know how to get there. Yeah. Like, you there, like, obviously you grinding. Yeah. But what are we grinding for? Like, what are we grinding with? Sure. What are we doing? You know,
Freddie,
like,
Mac was saying, you know, it's the journey, not the destination.
Right. Yeah. Fact.
Learn about that.
Love the process. Right. Like loving that process, I think, has been like a key element into where I am right now. And it's not the top. It's definitely not the top. But at least it's in a pack of our own conversations. Obey is Obey in his own right. Right. Freddie Mac is Freddie Mac in his own right. G Baby is in his own right. JPU is him in his own right. Like, we all went through something. We all had a process to be where we're currently at. And again, it's not at the top, but it's a process. And I'm learning to love that process. Yeah. To be like, look, I gotta absorb all I can.
Can you find yourself in social media? Do y'all think y'all can, like you saying, Freddie Mac is Freddie Mac, Obey is Obey. But do you think
you open my social media? You know,
social media is a vehicle or a good medium that can be used to find yourself. Like, what would you say to someone listening podcast? Wait. Like, I didn't find myself, you know, looking at Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff. It was hard conversations that I had.
Wait. So do you mean, like, if someone opens up my Facebook, could they know more about me, or did I find more about myself through social media?
I guess a combination. Both? But like, how do you discover the most about yourself? Obviously, it's through experiences, through failures, through your journey. Mm-hmm. But none of that really is on social media. Yeah, at all.
You can now I try to emulate my personal social media is, if you open my social media, you know I'm not fake. Like, it's all authentic. Like, it's no like crazy editing. Like, it's just like me doing being me. You know, but like I said, I didn't find out who I am through social media. It's through y'all. Like,
you gotta find that outside of this.
Got to find that outside of this screen. You know, for a fact.
And that's what I think my fear is with the young generation before us, is they don't realize that, like,
after us,
after generation us, after I apologize, us, yeah, you're after us, is that we were just old enough that we had playing outside. Mm. We had, if you weren't part of this like little crew, I didn't really know who you were.
Yeah.
I didn't know everything that was going on around the world. And so when you look at the generation now, they have grown up knowing everything about everybody.
Yeah. Mm.
And about building your following.
Thinking they know everything about everybody.
And like,
and the relationships are this deep. Yes, so surface.
Yes. And then these people, all 100,000 people care about me. Mm. And they don't realize that ain't true. They ain't calling when you're sad.
That's so,
they ain't coming to hang out.
That's so deep. Because back in the day, you didn't need 100,000 people to care about you. You need one.
Right.
You just need that cul-de-sac.
You need that cul-de-sac crew.
That one dude you walk outside, you dab, you shoot b-ball.
Can we even have the cul-de-sac now?
New title, cul-de-sac crew.
Can you have Ray Arnold? Can you have those things now? Can you have those
now? It's all about how many followers you have. Instead, back in the day, you just rock with just one. You good?
But that's what I'm saying.
Anxiety levels are through the roof these days.
Can we position the culture to where maybe social media is repurposed? Because I think
they're already talking about
good.
That, though. They're already talking about that. We're moving, seeing how many likes you have on a photo.
But see, reviewing how many,
that's a part of it.
Because then
personally, you know, but other people, because sometimes you follow someone
because
they have a lot of
followers. How you gonna get that dopamine release, though?
Exactly.
If it's not the likes, how you gonna get that dopamine?
Exactly.
Gotta get it somewhere else.
They're not gonna do it.
I don't know. You gotta repurpose that dopamine. I don't think they'll do it. I agree.
Because there's no point.
There's no point on Instagram.
Then
exactly.
I just go to VSCO. Yeah. If I'm just going to scroll and be like, ooh, nice picture.
Right.
Ooh,
nice I'll go to Pinterest. Yeah, exactly.
Right,
yeah,
I'll go
to
Pinterest.
Yeah. So I agree.
Likes is the grading.
It's the dopamine drip.
It's the grading scale.
Yeah. If you got 1,000 followers.
Because you feel like, you got a lot of likes.
Yeah.
oh, this.
Yeah, you got a 10 followers. Yeah,
I'm that girl, whatever.
You be looking at the same post, smiling at yourself, like,
refreshing that joint every time. That was funny, man. Going back every time. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, this is a good caption. Look, people
like it. I got a lot of likes.
People liking me, and that's not the way.
Yeah.
And so, and I also feel like we're too far gone to go back to the cul-de-sac crew to do that. And I'm so glad we were able to grow up that way.
Yeah. You don't think our kids will be able to do that if we try?
If we do, it's on us.
It's not on Zuckerberg's of the world. It's not on Instagram, Facebook. It's not on them to do that. It's on
life.
Us and our kids.
It's us as parents.
I work at a Montessori school, and we don't do no screens until fourth grade. Like, nobody. And these kids are outside playing with each other, setting up play dates. Like, they don't do social, like all this online stuff. And that's so purposeful. It's not neglectful of them not to have
they don't need it.
They don't, they're kids, you know. And it's no signs at fourth grade that they're being held back or not being equipped to handle a phone,
right?
It's so second nature to them, even not having it for so long, that they just absorb it immediately. It's nothing.
I heard a psychiatrist recently said that in 30 to 40 years we're going to look back on social media and look at it the same way we look at cigarettes now. Because all the studies that we're seeing, nothing's positive.
Yeah.
All these people, they've come up with these social media platforms.
Doctors used to smoke cigarettes in the emergency room 40 years ago. Man. Like, that was a fact.
Yep. Yeah, it was
like,
everywhere.
We're gonna look back and be like, dining room, we're so stupid. Did y'all really think that wasn't going to hurt y'all? Like, as far as anxiety and loneliness, like, I think we're going to look back and be like, man, we were idiots. Yeah. Like, playing with a loaded gun and not even realizing the impact it can have on a generation, on a person. It's crazy.
Who was it? Who was it? One of y'all that posted about the coffee, when coffee was implemented in, like, what is it?
That was Isaac.
It was like really early on, and right after that, the revolution. There was a revolution started like 10 years later. You know what I mean? Like, how close anxiety levels just like keep going through the roof. Just a reliance on like caffeine and like all this stuff, that dopamine like release that you're talking about. There's so much reliance on these fixes, you know, that we have, or these vices that we have, to whatever. Like, so anxiety is like through the roof, and it's,
let's talk about what you were saying about, like, I know you mentioned the word authenticity. I think that there's such a hunger and a craving for authenticity and realness among this digital age of social media.
Cause you feel like it's so, what's crazy is people feel like authenticity is so rare now because of social media. So that's why there's such a big crave for it. You know what I mean? And it's like, to a degree, I agree. Like, it can feel rare when you have such a surface level, like, social media relationships, you know? But, and on top of that, people are more being pushed to not be themselves.
Right.
Because of, you know, digital age, you know? So it's almost harder to be authentic for some people.
Yeah.
For us, we cul-de-sac. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't got no other way to be. We come from, our culture's different.
Like that.
No, you magnet. You know, you magnet school. Yeah. You know what I mean? You Nigeria. You know what I mean? Like, you Orange County. You know what I mean? Like, we just different. You know what I mean? We just different. It's not just, for some, I would stretch to say most, it's not the same. You know, so being authentic can be tough for some people when you're told that it's about your likes and your followers.
Right.
And you can easily hide behind the screen.
Although I feel like it's so far gone, like cul-de-sac culture and stuff like that. I totally agree with that it's on us to raise our kids.
Yeah. Fact. Yeah.
My parents raised me because they were cul-de-sac kids. They was neighborhood. They was out in the creek.
Yeah.
They was out playing outside, riding bikes and stuff like
we're
that.
We're the half and half. Like, we had half a foot in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 100%. Half a foot out. Yeah. So it's like the culture, I feel like, is weighing on us as parents. When we get to be parents, we're already starting to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
What are we going to do?
It's on us. We realize now, before we have kids, that it is on us.
And since we're aware, we're accountable.
Yep.
Oh, since you're aware, you're accountable.
Very much.
If you're listening to this, you're accountable now. You know.
You have to know. You have to.
And our parents, you know, you're getting on my nerves. Go outside.
Oh, yeah.
Now parents are getting on my nerves.
Go to your room.
Here's your iPad.
Go to your room.
Watch a YouTube video.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's wild. It's wild.
Okay, but here's the thing that's hard for me is, like, so here's a moment of honesty. So today, I felt like, oh man, I haven't posted 3 days. So I gotta do a post. I did a post.
Yeah.
And I instantly was like, numbers ain't running up the way that you
last
post did.
Yeah.
Man, I want to delete it.
Yeah, maybe I posted at the wrong time of day.
I was like, but it said 12 to 3 was my prime time.
Yeah.
And I started feeling it, and I was like, yo, because that's the biggest change for me is like starting to build this brand and like starting to get opportunities and trying to get like to be this like do this like trying to sell not only this DJ product but like all these other things, right? And you both understand this, you know, you understand this with ministry, like trying to build the church and sell it to like
organically.
Right. Yeah. And so I don't know what it is that like where that happy medium is for our culture in the future. And I'm like, where is we as the as we look to like, because we see it. We have to make this shift.
Yeah.
What do we do? Because it's like, man, I gotta grow the brand, but I wanna be authentic.
Yeah.
But I also care about likes, but I don't care. But that's how I get my advertising.
It's
and my
a
mind, money.
It's a mindset to me.
You
to
know
me,
it's hard.
It's if I'm posting on my business page, I'm thinking purely business. I like just like you said, I know my operating times, I know when I'm supposed to post. If I haven't posted, I know I need to post. It's purely business.
Okay.
I post it, I walk away.
You don't care about likes.
I don't care. Like I post it to have content so that when at least for us,
gotcha.
When someone was referred to us, they have something to go to see content. Typically, 9 times out of 10, they don't care how many likes it has, don't care how many views it has. If they like you, they book you.
Yeah.
Period. So I'm trying to at least, and this has not happened, always Benji Baby. It's a new me. Like, I don't care. Like, it's business. That's what it is. I'm posting it. I'm done with it. You know what I mean? And not being sucked into where Obuzi at this year, where Freddie Mac at next year, like where JP is right now. Like, I'm in my lane. That's it. You know, if we can climb together, we climb together. If we can't,
that's a mindset. I gotta like feed myself off of that because I'm guilty of that. Even though I'm all about going outside, riding bikes, and I grew up like that.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a new age now where this has become pretty much everything to us, social media and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that mindset. Yeah, like I'm very at the very beginning of getting like that. Like oh, I'm just posting this for content. I don't need to
business. Yeah.
I don't need to worry about the likes or the all that interaction, all that kind of stuff. And it is hard being. Yeah. It is hard trying to find that path or trying to get on that path of not caring about likes and all that kind of stuff. It's very, very difficult because this is designed for.
Yeah, yeah.
And all these people that have designed all these social medias have said this was designed to be addictive.
Yeah, yeah. Draw you back.
Yo, have you ever scrolled to the bottom of your timeline?
Never.
Has that ever happened?
Never.
Wow.
Never.
Think about the time you've been on the toilet.
Yeah.
Right? That's or you just sitting on where, I don't mean to be like graphic, but you've been.
Dead. Like, you get up and you get
and
that tingly feeling.
You've just been scrolling. Do you ever come to the bottom of that? Do you ever come to the bottom of your timeline just says, there's nothing left?
Blood loss would happen in my legs if I attempted to.
It's a bottomless pit.
Fact.
It's very addictive. This is all facts.
Right.
But I think it starts in your mind. Like, yo, I'm gonna post this. I'm not gonna be overly concerned, and that's gonna take a while.
Yeah.
For me to really get on that, I'm gonna post it and walk away.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that, bro.
Yeah. You know what?
Because this is what it's designed for, and I'm already been in this system for however long Instagram been around, 06, whatever.
You know what's helped? What's kind of helped me in this, and obviously, again, this kind of relates to our personal business, but it's like I'm more focused on my interactions that I have at that. Like, say I'm DJing a wedding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy night. It's awesome. And we got people that come up, like, man, it was great. It's fantastic. So-and-so's getting married. I'm getting married, whatever. That's my moment right there.
Yeah.
That's my moment to make a connection with that person
sure.
that I have who already seen my sauce instead of relying on my social media to do that for me. Obviously, social media helps. We all get leads from it, you know, like whatever. But I want to rely, like you just said, like y'all said, organically. That's my organic lead right there.
Yeah.
I didn't pay for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
right.
That's the person who saw what I can do and
live.
At minimum, like is interested. Perk to interest. That's where I
so you fully separate yourself from your social media.
I try. It's not 100%. Like I'm not foolproof to it, but I try to say like this is my business. This is what it's for. Like obviously we all utilize
social media is a tool to get you to that spot.
There it is.
To get
it's
you
a tool,
to that spot.
You know what I mean? And it has to be used as such. I don't want to be consumed by it. And that's my thing. I want to be consumed by my community. And that's
on a business level.
Mm-hmm.
Also on a personal level, because you'll see people you'll see a whole concert on somebody's Snapchat
Fact.
Or somebody's Instagram
story.
You're
not even there. Like,
Take this fuzzy sound down, man. You up in the nosebleeds, bro. I don't care. But you got. But that's what social media is designed for. Like, where you talk, we already talked about business and content stuff. Yeah. But you also got to let everybody know where you at. Know, right? What you doing? How lit your life is.
I hate, quote unquote, when people record the radio. Like, they listen to the song they listen to. The whole song on a radio. We good, bro. Like,
I can find that song
exactly. If I want to, give me the title. Like, and then walk away. You know what I mean? Like,
enjoy the song. How we used to do ringtones. Record the radio.
We're combining all of it now.
So like this year, I started pushing myself to like start that process because I think it's almost like coming out the Matrix. I went to go see one of my favorite artists of all time.
Red pill, blue pill, the Matrix,
Right. Like, you know, it just feels like that. Like when you use social media. So I went to go see John Bellion, who I was like one of my top 10 favorite artists, and it was the weirdest thing because I chose to post nothing. And I'm a person that's starting to get into this content creating
to be in the moment.
Be in the moment. And I, you know, it's like when you start to like, I've been really thinking about like, you know, these like silent retreats and doing these things to kind of detach you from what our culture
without telling everybody that you're doing it.
Yes.
It's because crazy though, right?
I don't need to know you're going to take a month off for social media for Lent and all that kind of stuff.
Now, I know somebody listening, like, it's a weird flex and they tell it on the podcast. I know.
But isn't it crazy to think about, like, I'm not
going
to record this moment. Right. I'm not going to video this moment. Bro, you almost think, like, but nobody's seeing what I'm doing.
Nobody's going to believe me.
Nobody going to believe me that I'm
What about my fans?
What about my fans? They need to know. And I'm like,
if no one sees me close to John and he dapped me.
Take a pic. Like, take a pic or it didn't happen.
Right, take a pic or it didn't happen.
Like, it's so hard. I feel that. Because it's like in the back of your head.
But I became more aware of people at the concert, bro. Like, y'all were talking about.
How much more did you enjoy the moment?
There were things I probably would have missed.
You looking down?
Bro, I was sitting here. I watched the whole, for the first, I was like, I saw John with 300 people. When he was nobody, before he got his Disney deal, back in the day, right when his first real project dropped, after the definition.
Shout out John Bellion. Like, organic growth, fire. By the way, too, on a like, business, on a business tip.
And he refuses to do it
the other way.
That's why I respect him. But so, like, I remember seeing that concert, and that time, you know, I was with my ex-girlfriend, and I wanted to post about it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do all that stuff. And I remember being like, I would miss certain parts because I'm like, I was literally, at his, when he, back then, thinking about a post during the concert.
So this caption going to be mean. I know exactly. I'm going to put some lyrics from All Time Low on this song.
I'm sitting here on my story. You know, talking to people and you're like, all right. And I'm like, wait, bro, let me finish this later.
Right.
And so when I watch this concert this time, I'm like, wow, if he does this, when he started doing this, man, that was a fire arrangement. Y'all don't understand. Like, y'all listen to the original? Yeah. He just flipped it.
Yeah.
It was just like so many things I would just like focus in on.
Yeah. I got a confession of I sometimes get sucked into second screen. Like, I'm watching NBA basketball and I'm looking at my phone on Twitter and I'm seeing highlights. I was like, I didn't even see that. And I just got to look up.
That's just like, that's just a key element.
Like, if you come out the Matrix,
I need to put my phone down if I want to enjoy like what's happening right in front of me.
I gotta watch all the games at the same time.
Like that second screen, like it's sucking me in more than what I really want to do.
Sports is life.
That is so, bro.
The game is background.
When we watch, I want to see what you know Stephen A. Smith got to say about it. Like, and I'm missing what he got. What he said.
When we watched Mayweather versus Khabib together, right?
Yeah,
I felt bad. His confession time. I felt bad.
McGregor, Khabib.
McGregor versus Khabib.
You got a real fan.
UFC.
Yeah.
And I almost missed when Khabib went for his whole family and went out the cage.
And jumped.
Because I was on Twitter. I remember about to tell Pew something. And I went in the show. And he hit me. He came out the cage. And I'm like, I look up. And I'm like, crazy. I almost missed that whole moment. And I remember being like, yo, that's what I paid for, is to see all that. But I was on Twitter trying to find funny stuff and dope stuff that's going on while watching it. Just like that just brought that to my mind.
Isn't it crazy how much we pay to go see something and don't watch it?
And we not there?
How much
somebody we pay to go? Somebody listening just got hit.
That hit different.
Bro.
Like, you working your 48.
Somebody go to
hours.
Church and say, I'm going to need a scheduled time with the pastor.
Seriously. And you don't watch
G-Baby
it.
G-Baby just hit me something deep.
For real.
You just paid $150 for a concert ticket and ain't watched but half of it.
You ain't even there.
You ain't even there.
Bro. You in Instagram
just land. So I can bro. Say to Come my on. Friends I was there.
Come right. on. Hey, you in the Man. Movie. I had to stop myself. At the movie recently when me and Pew went to see, I was about to be like, let me just do one quick.
Right.
And
right.
I was like, wait, if they go see it, I should just tell them, go see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Why would I literally Fact. Show the first two minutes of the, I'm like, I'm here to hang out with my boy Fact. And watch a film. Why would I then post the whole trip?
Right.
As if that's going to be like, you know, Freddie Mac, I was watching you and G-Baby. Watch that new Marvel movie. I think I'm gonna buy tickets.
I be low key
like,
hurt.
No one does that.
I be low key hurt when people together and I'm not there. You know what I mean? I be low key hurt. Bro. You know what I mean? Like, y'all can't link up.
That happens all
and
time.
Not giving a link
that
up. You know what I mean? Like,
we sent up the bat signal. We sent up the bat signal.
Bro, late.
Obey now.
Like, late. How many times I asked you to come ball with me? How many times? How many times I asked you to come ball with me? One person that came with a ball with me, Freddie Mac. That's it. Just one. Just
that's
one.
True.
How many?
I did get him to a concert.
I don't play AAU. I can't. That's an hour and a half to play basketball.
You know why? You know
all right,
why?
That's my bad. All right,
Pew, you know why we don't go? Pew, you know why we don't go? Because we old school.
Your knee
we
hurt?
Got the sleeve.
Your knee hurt?
We don't wear all this stuff.
Look,
I don't have an NBA headband.
I can vouch for Gabe. He didn't wear all of that.
Right? Right?
I didn't know he wore all that stuff.
I was like low key balling, right? I was like semi balling, right?
How many?
He wasn't even 100%.
Right?
How much he slipped you, bro? How many shots did he take?
I could probably count on one hand. Not a whole lot.
Look, bro, I'm different. Different.
I was the dude nobody knew in the gym. I think I shot more than Gabe.
I'm changed, bro. I'm changed.
I remember. So you ate
trust
D Rose's.
My instinct. No, bro.
One pass and shot at most.
Yeah, exactly.
You get one pass.
Bro.
I don't know who passed less. You or Melo? I still.
Wow. Melo should have a job. I just want to say Melo should have a job.
If Gabriel McGann has Melo should have a job.
Bro, I know you ain't talking about me, bro. Because
if Gabe get picked up,
anytime Obey on the court, bro. First of all,
I've never played with Obey, so
bro,
let me know.
His regular shot is like Shaq free throw, bro. His regular.
Oh, on God.
Oh,
on God.
Bro. You,
I gotta see this live, yo.
You passing the ball, he's right here on the Kupo in the post, bro. I'm like, you not that light. Why, bro?
Why, I want to know one thing.
Out.
Why wasn't this ever on your Instagram story?
I'm so attacked.
I wasn't there. Why wasn't this on your Instagram story,
grade
yo?
School, grade school, grade school.
I want to see this form now.
Right. FOMO.
FOMO, for real. FOMO, you got to put this on your Instagram so I can see what you were doing.
All right,
that's the culture we live in, though.
Yeah. So let's. I know we had something that we wanted to touch on before we forget.
Oh.
The Kanye album, right? This huge.
You ready to talk about it?
Bro, you got, you know.
Okay.
I'm just going to say
it. Let's start.
I'm going to say it because I can say it. Because Pew here, you know, yeah, white people saying, like, everybody in uproar, like, on both sides of it.
Sure.
Talking about, oh, man, this is the greatest thing. And then you got people like, oh, like, saying it's blasphemous, it's terrible. And then you got both sides of the culture for minorities as well. And honestly, I'm on a side where I don't care.
Yo, if this is a publicity stunt.
Perfect. I'm like, I don't care.
Oh, it's just like politics.
Yeah.
You're not going to please anybody. You know what I'm saying? But however, I thought it was a decent album. If this is what he's at in his life, who am I to tell that man
fact.
Or to judge that guy
exactly.
for what
that's
he's
what
doing?
I mean,
if this is what he feels like,
yeah, fact.
I think that's on him. I think the thing for me is
you're making good music, though. I mean,
right,
oh
right.
my gosh,
yeah, production always, is on yeah. point.
I think
always.
With Ye's album,
bro, I've been
right. I enjoyed it.
Look, day
is
one.
It, hey,
I'm a day one.
Right, got his Yeezys.
You know what I mean?
Come on,
show him
day one from the Turtle Dove.
So, but here's my
Turtle.
Here's my thing with Ye's album, and what looks at our culture is that. It seems that, like with the president, some people cannot detach themselves to think clearly, right? So some people, if you hate Ye, it didn't matter if he had put the hottest gospel album since Kirk put out the
New Nation Project,
which I think is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, gospel. You want to talk about
what?
Yo, that whole album.
Down by the riverside.
That album from cover to cover was tough.
Troubles all behind.
I had that on compact disc.
Bro.
Look that up, kids.
Replay.
It's one of those where you insert the name of Jesus, you run it through, you put it out, and you flip it, right? And you put it right back.
So if you hated Ye and he had put out a project greater than that, which I don't think that Jesus King is greater than that, but I think that new name Jesus King, for the artist that he is such an impactful,
influence and the platform that it came out of.
Exactly.
Kirk Franklin didn't have that platform in a way. He didn't have that audience.
But this project was not meant to be, let me give you 12, 15 features. I think that what happens when Ye, you know, puts out a project late is that he's removing a lot of features, a lot of artists, a lot of people that should be on there. And I think that what he wanted was a pure album. Because I listened to his pastor talk, who's just, I mean, it's not Judah Smith. It's not, you know, one of the Hillsong pastors.
He's got a church of 300.
It is a church of 300. Like Wrangler jean, I shop at Ross. Chill. I probably had. I'm not even playing.
I think he was talking like
he had the ESV. NASB open on the right, and had just said, "Oh, I got an interview. Let me close the word, and get in on this." So he was. This is a very reformed pastor. Yes.
I mean, there's so much substance into this album,
right?
Like content wise,
you can tell
it's so saturated. It just cries me of like a new believer that like. Man, he just want to express himself of what God means.
In the interview, he said that he had sat with Ye and went for three hours, song by song, and said, change this, do this. So he has worked personally. So he had a pastor say, hey, man, you have to take these new verses out. This ain't.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this ain't accurate.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think what people have to realize is for those that hated him, you're going to hate it. For those that love Ye, you obviously like it because he's never going to put out a product that's not produced well. And not like
not polished.
And then if you're in the middle, I think you really appreciate this album for what it is, which is his attempt at a true gospel album. Because remember, he told you The Life of Pablo was a gospel album. And we all went,
right.
Okay.
Just like Snoop told us he's gonna do a gospel album, and it was a gospel album, but it was like trash.
Yeah. I have a little bit of, like, I see my mother-in-law, my mother sharing Jesus Is King album like content. And I'm like, Mom, like, what? And I'm asking to y'all, is it because the MAGA hat, or is it because the content of the album and the creativity?
It's the MAGA hat.
But that gets on my nerves.
You're right, though. I want to make sure I understand your question.
People are willing to share.
Is it that?
It's Jesus almost like we got one. Front,
or is like
we got one.
Oh, Kanye is on my side. All right, I'm gonna share it. You know what I'm saying? It's like that gets on my nerves.
If you support him politically, you probably loved him more than you should have. If you don't support him politically, you probably hated it more than you should have.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there were people that were crazy to me that I respect. It was actually going to be a friend of mine that's going to come on the podcast, and we're going to do a Ye podcast. And then we're going to have another friend of mine do a Ye podcast. And we're going to just dive in musically and song by song and track by track. Because I think what blows my mind is there are some people that I don't understand their take outside of it's a political thing.
Right.
Because I'm like, how are you listening to Selah and telling
me they can't separate their
it's
bias,
trash?
Man. They can't you know, separate
I'm like,
their
I'm
bias.
Like, trash is just disrespectful to this project. You can say it's not elite.
Right.
But again, it's his first attempt at a true gospel album.
This ain't the best Kanye album. Nobody's saying that. I hope not.
How can you win the first three? Again, here's also the thing too. We need to stop doing this thing. And I think it's a little bit of our culture coming into it. We the culture always be like, when somebody puts out something, I'm like, man, it ain't as good as that. I'm like, bruh, that was quick to compare. Right.
We quick to compare.
Our parents did not go to Michael Jackson and be like, you ain't done nothing like Thriller.
Yeah.
No, you ain't done Prince. Yeah. I mean,
you accept each project, each piece of work as is. Like, oh, I love
to.
This. Yeah. There was no serious comparison.
You have to.
At least not that I know of. Yeah. You have to. And this is what we love from artists. We love to know about where they are in their life, what they talk, what they're going through, what they're experiencing.
Right.
And that's exactly what he gave us. This is where he is in his life. Whether this is real or not.
But that's
not on me. That's careful. I'm not going to judge that man. Yeah. If somebody was to judge me, I'd be in a world of trouble, yo.
You know, I can see the fruit, though. Like, as far as the content wise, I'm
just
like,
it hits different.
Because, you know, with Yeezus, like, it made it about Kanye. But, like, I didn't feel that when I listened to this. It was really about God and making Jesus his name great. Like, and that was like so refreshing to me.
Yes.
And
even if I can listen to Kanye on the way to church now,
Fact. Yo. I'm like, I can play this with my YouTube now.
And Pew, let the saints know, don't go past this project if you don't know, guys. If you don't know who Ye is, let the saints know.
Listen to the songs on the track.
Because some of y'all hit it on shuffle, and then they left that album, and you said,
that's fact. Once you, because it only take like 20-something minutes to get through the album. When that joint go to artists related to Kanye,
I had friends be like, Lil Pump, what is this?
I like it.
Wait, you're such a...
That was, as far as we know, that was a different place. That was a different place in Kanye's life, different time in his life.
But I think that's so real, though, because people just feel like... People feel like there's so much hypocrisy in the church and how, like, you got to be... Obviously, this is probably like a cliche statement, but that everyone's in a church has to be perfect or like imbued as like has this holier than thou mentality. Mm. But I feel like his road is so real because it's like the Saul to Paul like movement. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm not. No, there's no comparison.
But for those yay heads, us like us yay heads, we see, we all four of us have followed this man
From the beginning.
From the beginning. And so we understand, like what you're saying is not. That the people that are going to get upset about this.
Right.
Listen to what this man saying. Look at who he was. Like, Paul was a murderer of Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He hated Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Ye has said in recent interviews, I was an atheist. When I made that song, Lil Pump, when I made Yeezus, I saw myself as a god. Mm-hmm. So it's now confirmed. He said himself.
That, you know, in this album, he said, the devil had my soul. That's what he
said. Like, Gabe, make that point, but like, let people understand. Yep. Don't get him in the messages. Be like, you trying to make him seem like this king. Like, you know, how people be with Trump. Like, he reminds me of
Stop. Yo, he ain't Moses.
Stop. If he Moses,
you gonna lead us into the promised land? Who,
bro? Stop, bro. Right. People just dumb. It throws me.
Just
another animal.
You know, he really reminds me of David.
Do he though? Do we?
King David.
Bro.
That's funny.
Maybe Bathsheba. Maybe Bathsheba.
That's funny. It ain't facts, though.
I don't think Melania hit like Bathsheba. Hey, 98 Melania.
Stop.
I don't think she hit like that.
I'll play it.
Yo.
I should have said that.
He killed his main man for her, though. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
We don't know who Melania's for when he met her at the club.
Would Trump roll on Giuliani for Melanie?
Hey, also that's real. No one ever talks about how I met her at a club and then she was with me on the flight back. I'm like, hey, fam, like her family, everything she knew.
Society right now is crazy, bro. Everything is intertwined with politics. Everything.
I don't think that's healthy.
It's not healthy.
It's so toxic.
It's so dumb.
Because you know,
there's so many layers to how I feel about like politics in general.
Yeah.
Like for personally, for the culture, mm-hmm. for society, because I think there's different variables of how it can react.
Yeah.
Like or how it should be, but like.
But I think what we have to be careful is listen. Like I've heard people say this, and I don't agree with it. That we need to stop being so tribal, and you need to realize first off, we are tribal. It's just period. Like we build communities within communities. We as Christians understand not everybody gets on Noah's ship. Not everybody going to heaven. So I think we have to be careful when we say everybody must agree. Everybody must be 100%. Like, I don't understand this concept.
Yeah,
like,
that's not
like,
real.
Like if you conservative and you liberal, you have a, you both of you disagree at that.
Right.
Who is going to pay for X thing that's going to help someone? It's a foundational issue.
And that's where compromise is. And that's where that's where that little avenue lies. And that's the problem right now. There is no compromise.
Yes.
That's the issue.
That's different than tribes.
I give an inch. I'm validating them.
Right. Like, now, tribes work together. That's how you survive.
Exactly.
So we have to work together. Don't misconstrue my words.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like this concept of like we all got to agree. I'm like, no. Listen, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
All four of us here are Christians. My whole team are Christians. Mm-hmm. So the product that we are producing mm-hmm. has a foundation mm-hmm. that it has to meet a certain standard,
right?
But I think that it gets crazy when people say, okay, obey, but then you got to support somebody that says, hey, If you 4 years old, you can have a sex change. Yeah. Anybody can do any drugs or do anything at any time. Yeah. I'm like, listen, because I'm held to this standard, there could be some things I just don't rock with.
Right.
And
right.
That's, you can do it if you want.
That's
cool.
And I honestly, just don't rock with honestly, it. Honestly, I'm going to go a stretch further. I think it's aside from my faith. Like, I think people attack us because it's like, all right, well, your faith is wrong type situation. Like, because you believe X, Y, and Z, like, your religion is holding you to this and the religion is making you do this. Sometimes I'm just talking basic science.
Right.
Just the basics of human anatomy. Right. Not what my pastor taught me growing up, what my biology teacher told me growing up. You know what I mean? Right. What y'all, you know what I mean? I wasn't raised in a Christian school. I went to a regular old public school.
Me too.
Like, that's right. You know what I mean? Like public school rocking.
No A1 over here.
Exactly. What you taught me in human anatomy. So for the most times, I'm talking about basic stuff that you taught me. Now, that doesn't mean I need to be ignorant and not be, like, I guess, politically correct. Or like, if you tell me you want to be somebody else, I'm going to be as respectful as I can to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's how you feel.
Yeah, that's how you feel. That's how you are. But when you dictate and be like, nah, this is truth.
And I have to allow my kids to do this.
Right.
It's like, no. See, that's where I think that the church needs to be okay with being flipping tables and saying, all right, this is where I think we're done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think at some point we have to understand we ain't going to be liked. Right. So if you go do the Jerry Falwell thing and tie you to somebody and say, hey, I'm tying myself to President Trump in this politics, I think you have to understand that, like, okay, if you go do that, remember the foundation that you're coming from. Because when they ask Jesus, hey, man, what about this taxes? Like, you talk about people that are overtaxed, that were abused. Mm-hmm. And he got a tax collector with him. And he said, man, pay your taxes. Like, it's not about that.
Pay to Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yeah. Like, because he didn't want to jump into politics. They've tried to get him in. Hey, why don't you have your people do these things versus these things? He didn't even jump in. So it's like, when we jump in as Christians, I just hope that we remember our foundation, where we're coming from, and that we have to remind ourselves that, like, when we get into this politics thing, it does not make the other side evil. Mm-hmm. It does not make the other side, you know, something terrible. And it does not make us right if we're conservative or right if correct. We're liberal.
Right.
You know, so this intersection of faith and politics can be good.
Yeah.
But if I'm a Christian and I support A, B, C, or D, whatever politically, I got to tie that to scripture.
Yeah.
Right.
My
question is to y'all, what is the hill y'all are willing to die on? Because I get the concept, and I hope that I have like compassionate hearts for people that have other beliefs than me, and I want them to know that I hear them. But there's certain things I think as Christians that we should, you know, like, I might push back, but I'm not going to be pushed any further. Like what you were saying. Like,
right.
This is
like,
what,
at what point
what
do we
on.
Say,
what point do you say
it's time to be like, oh, okay. Cause I think the church in America, we've experienced a great couple centuries of peace. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize at some point the world comes back, right. The culture comes back, and they say,
a part so of me was like,
you go let this happen or not.
Yeah. A part of me is like, bro, I don't really care what you're trying to do. Like, just live your life.
Right.
Do what you want to do. Like, it don't really.
You're a libertarian.
Really,
yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, that's a libertarian.
I don't really care that you want to live your life a certain way. Ain't got nothing to do with me.
But what about when they say they want to make you? They're like, no, you gotta allow this in your household.
Right. But that's different. Like, that's
you
different.
Gotta
different. Certain that's a different
pronouns.
Stuff. Because look, first of all, let me tell you something. Can nobody in this room make me do that? You know what I mean? You could ask.
You can see what I say.
Exactly.
But you think we're on the path that in a couple years you're going to be in jail for no one's going to make me?
Now that's different. Now you're stripping away.
Yeah, that's everything America's supposed to stand
on. But that's reality, though.
Yeah, that's a reality.
You look at the climate.
It's a reality if we're taking away the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, like if we're taking away our basic civil rights that we have as just basic human beings.
Okay.
If we omit those, of course, if we're living in a world where one person can say, you must do this, we're not in the United States of America anymore. We're not. We're in a dictatorship. We're not in a democracy anymore.
Okay.
We're in a democracy, so people are asking hey, can you be more respectful or can you invite these things in your home? But as in a democracy, we can say, nah. Like, I'm gonna live my life the way that's I want to live my life. Is. You can live your life the way you want to live your life. Right. You can riot. You can do just the same way. Right. The same way the dude was. There's a video that came out. A dude is chopping up a deer in the front window, butchering it, and the people are outside rioting not to eat meat. And the dude,
so that's you
hanging it.
That's you.
You. He said, "You got the right to do that. I got the right to do this."
Okay.
It's their belief. Like, you do what you want. But, I ain't got no problem with it.
Pugh's point is, Gabe.
They want to silence you.
What happens? What happens when they knock on the door?
Now you take away my freedom of speech.
So what do you do then?
That's different. Now we in different times.
Okay.
So now we no longer in a democracy.
So what are you going to do at that
point? If we are no longer in the United States, obviously I'm going to fight for the United States.
Take up arms?
Right.
That 9 mil?
I'm going to have to take up my 9. I'm going to have to. Because now you're infringing on my ability,
right.
my choice to be an American citizen, what makes us America.
And to believe what
America
I want,
yeah.
Say what I want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I'm in my house.
Does politics have a
place? So I pay my taxes.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
So then does politics have a place in faith? It's like the Jerry Falwell thing where it's like, or the.
I think it's too deep.
Not Billy Graham, his son, that's in the, like, into politics.
I think faith has overstepped. I think faith has overstepped to a degree.
So too much politics and faith.
Of course, I think it's too deep, and we're calling everybody to live by this standard that we live by, that we own, we take responsibility of, and people who don't know Jesus, who don't know nothing about Scripture, and we're calling them to that. They don't mean nothing to them. It means
they don't know anything.
They don't know it. It means everything to us. I cannot say to somebody that don't believe to live by this and they don't know nothing about it.
Right.
That's I feel like our faith has overstepped in. Not everywhere. In some parameters have overstepped in. And I'm not gonna say
got you. Creating laws based on biblical principles that people don't adhere to.
Correct. Like they don't know nothing about. Like I think if we're gonna stand on the fact that everyone should have their own choice of the way to live their life, like I have the ability. I'm not saying what it is right now is refuting the fact that, or refuting the ability for me to go to somebody who doesn't know Jesus to tell them about Jesus. We're fighting that. We're creating this place where we can't do that anymore. We are creating that.
Yeah.
So because of the climate
we
that
believe
we're in,
the truth is going to win out. Like
exactly. So that, let the truth be. Like right. let it be freedom. You can live your life and live how you want to live. But you like, let's, I'm going to be on a small touchy subject is legalization of homosexual marriage.
Okay.
Ain't do nothing to my ability to be a believer or present you the gospel.
Got you.
Nothing. Why am I fighting that?
That's true.
Why? Ain't got nothing to do with me.
True.
They deserve the same basic rights.
This is a real question. Can you refuse now to DJ a?
Of course I can. I can.
They
don't.
They don't. They.
It's
going after cake shops though. What's the difference?
And that's what I'm saying. It is a big difference because now it's.
But that's what I'm saying. Being passive and I'm not saying like that it has to happen that they have to follow by the
right.
Book.
Yeah, like
I'm more libertarian in that. But when they're saying you're going to be penalized, we're going to take away
then
from your business
then
because
they're overstepping.
You're not recognizing legitimate
It's because
marriage.
The United States have taken too much of a stance where as opposed to staying neutral, they have now voicing up a side of an opinion, or at least it's maybe 50-50. I'm not going to stretch and say 60-40. Let's say 50-50. They've took a stance on something, so now this one side is holding them to the stance and to the side that they've spoken up against. So it means now, If you took such a hard stance about this, if you're against it,
right.
Now I'm attacking a business, attacking a person. I ain't got nothing wrong with homosexual marriage,
right.
whatever it is. I'm just saying I do reserve the right to say no to anything. Like, if I don't like you, I don't want to do your wedding. If we have bad meetings.
And some people can't handle that.
Yeah, some people can't handle that. Ain't got nothing to do with your personal belief. Ain't got nothing. If I don't vibe with you, I reserve the right.
If I'm not confident in my abilities.
If I tell you no,
yeah,
I can't DJ your wedding or I can't provide you this service or whatever my, it don't really matter what my reasons are, unless I'm telling you like, you gay, I can't, I ain't doing
it. Right.
That's, I don't need to say all of that.
Yeah.
But I have every right to not do it if that's what I choose to do for whatever reason.
Right. And I completely agree. I'm just playing devil's advocate because it's at the doorstep.
Yeah, like it is. It is.
It's coming.
And I think
these conversations are going to be had.
Sure. I think there's only happened like once or twice where it's been asked to me. And I wanted to make sure when I communicated to this person.
Wasn't offensive.
That not even just that was offensive. I generally couldn't do it. Like, it wasn't, I was already booked, but right. I wanted to make sure that this person still felt like
taken care of,
right? And that, yeah. And love,
treated fairly, still
and treat person, it fairly, made right. in the image of God, yeah, and they deserve.
Absolutely.
The
church I so wish so I could be there for you. That, absolutely, yeah. Right. I can yeah. so be there for you. Yeah. Like it. I feel like this. I mean, obviously, it's such a sensitive issue, and I feel like we've taken our wrong angle or direction about it. And for a lot of parts, not everybody. I think a lot of people are doing it. You know, doing their best, but it's up to me to do at least do my part and show love to this right. this person who I wish I could be there for. Yeah, that's what we're called to do.
That's where it starts.
That's where it starts.
Absolutely.
You know,
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't. I've never done one, but
yeah,
I'd be open to doing a homosexual.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I just haven't done one.
Yeah.
The one I got asked to do one. Look, I was booked already.
I was like booked. Yeah.
What? I just want to put that out there. That's your choice.
Protect the brand.
I just want to put that out there. I'll give an example
Our company has done two.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Right. So, as we
moving on.
I love everybody, yo. That's what we call
it. You can cut it. You can cut it, splice it.
I know what you're saying. But that's what we call to do, show love.
That's right.
Show love. You know what I'm saying? Show love. Yeah. I don't have to disrespect you. Be like, I don't believe in all of that. Fact. I don't think that's right. That ain't none of my business.
It ain't none of my business. It ain't on me to do that.
Right.
I must show love.
For me, marriage, especially after going to Israel, is a very religious act. And so, personally for me and my company, my brand, we will always do business with anyone that has a variety of things I don't agree with. But when it comes to the intimate act of DJing someone's wedding and representing that and celebrating that, I would abstain on religious grounds. But if it's like, you want to do a party? I'm there, fam. Let me DJ for sure.
Have you ever done one?
No. I've had two or three people reach out and I just have been booked. And that's like with all three of us.
Also, so
for those listening, sorry we so booked. Like, we just do a really good job. So, you should get in early.
Early.
You know?
Stop waiting until the last minute.
Also, my homie and good friend Pew does do weddings now. Come on down. Let him marry y'all up.
What's up?
Oh, officiating?
He said, listen, just slide him a couple hunchos, free food and gas. Come on, take care of your boy.
Let me get a plate. That's it. Let me get a plate.
You going to pray at dinner too?
I'll pray.
Get that plate.
Bring the Lord back.
But yeah, I just think that like when it comes to that, I want people that are listening to this that disagree with me or think differently than me, please come to the table. Come do a pod.
Absolutely. You gotta talk about
or,
it.
And they're first and foremost, they're love. First and foremost.
Like, it's not out of like there are people that do things for me because I believe things are different than them. You know, and I have to understand that. And I think what's crazy when you travel, I encourage the young people, you know, to take that chance to take these traveling trips to see other cultures, because some of these conversations that we get so heated about ain't that deep overseas.
They ain't talking about this. And for what?
For what?
They ain't talking about
it. It's a set thing. So it's just like,
it is
open
what it
your
is.
Perspective. Yeah. Open your perspective and understand that, like, it's okay for me and you to disagree. And on religious grounds, you know, I may not want to smoke weed with you or do something with you. It's just like, I don't do that. You know what I'm saying?
It's the same thing, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to strip club with you. Like, it's just like, you know, for some people, that's like a very, in Atlanta, that's like a cultural thing.
Yeah.
It just ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
But so as we wrap this thing up, and this has been such a good pod, and I really appreciate y'all coming through.
Absolutely.
As y'all think about our generation and, you know, what's to come and where the culture's heading, you know, what would y'all say to someone who's listening right now? You know, we're actually blessed to be close to 1,000 plays this podcast in about, I think, like 20, 30 some countries. So it's crazy.
Nice.
So around the world, some people are listening, right?
Congratulations.
One or two, you know?
Hey, Iceland. Hey, that's all right. That's
plug
all right.
it in. So as they listen to, you know, G Baby, Freddie Mac, or, you know, Pew, what would y'all say to them? And if you could see yourself in that crowd, so if you could see that 16 year old, 17 year old, 18 year old, 15 year old, 14 year old, 13, 12, what would you say to them? As they have listened to this and, you know, heard from their elder millennials and heard some wisdom to take with them, some things to realize on the journey ahead. Hey, you know, be mindful of the social media. Be mindful of your authenticity and your core. Find your true self. We would say in the gospel, but if you want to find that in other ways, all power to you. Be okay with failure because it's going to happen. You're going to get hit in the face and also things are not going to go right, you know? Lastly, when you're looking at, you know, your future and everything that is going on with your life, and you're thinking about what to do, where to go, you know, who to be. If I could start and leave anything to those people that just came to my head, and I could think back to myself, one, I need you to deeply understand that it is vitally important that you love yourself and who you are, because there will be no one ever like you in this world. So whatever giftings and talents that God has given you, mm-hmm. use them. Be okay with dropping some, doing some, and realizing some are just for the hobbies and some are actually passions that you can make money, and then use that to bless not only your family but other people. And then if I could leave a second nugget to that person, you must be okay on this journey that you are on with being open to it being windy and changing directions, and it may not go the way you have planned. So I would suggest not necessarily having a plan, but being gracious with each day that you have and attacking it day in and day out, with the focus being on the future, but attacking it day in and day out. And whatever plan that you have, just being open for it not going the way you thought it was going to go. Because I thought I'd be married by now. I thought I'd be wealthy by now. I thought I'd be in the NFL by now. And I thought that a lot of things that happened to me wouldn't have happened. But I realized through counseling and prayer and great accountability and great friends that for me to become the Obey that God has for me, I had to go through this journey. And so you got to be open, because if you close fist that plan and life hits you with it, that's where you get all these things of anger, depression, sadness, anxiety, and you don't need that. So yeah. That would be me. So if anybody else wants to pick that up.
I think for a young guy, like you're talking about, like coming out of high school, I think finding a good group of people is like key. Find a good community like that holds you through. Most key element is like your mentorship. Like, do not count out, like find somebody that not necessarily that you want to be like. Obviously that's great, that somebody that you like look up to is phenomenal, but I think finding somebody that's just doing it, like at least let's say on minimum on papers, like doing it better than you are, being are somewhere where you want to be, like whether it be in life or emotionally, like mentally, and like have a core group of mentors. Like I feel like mentorship for me has been like a key element. I always check with my mentor, you know, shout out to Papa Miracle with, you know, something that I want to do, like just talk, just to chop it up to see like, hey, like, is this possible? Am I in the right mindset? You know, or somebody that can check you, you know, like JP, like always keeps me accountable. I have a deep passion for business and finance and, you know, being successful. And he's always there to check me and be like, make sure you keep your core beliefs like intact, like your foundation is true. Like if this is your calling from God, like how are you interweaving Christ into your business to make sure like it stays at the roof? Have somebody that's willing to check you on it and at any day, any given day basis, you know, like I think that's a key element to knowing. Just, I guess being humble is the nicest way to say, to think, but it's deep. I think it's deeper than being humble. It's just like, You're not at the top. You're not the best. Like, always be learning. Always be growing. Always be experiencing. Always be open, perspectively open. And, like, live your life. Like, it ain't everybody's business. Ain't your business, you know? Like, just be so willing to learn and grow. And hey, you sky's the limit from there if you open for that. So, yeah.
I think what I would have to say to that is, speaking to a Geiger on high school or speaking to myself, pursue what is real. Like, I think there's so many times they're mirages and something that is counterfeit out there. And that if you have a heart for the truth and surrounding yourself by real people that will invest in you and pour into you and challenge you, that's worth its weight in gold. I also think of, just my calling on my life. I think of, I want to invest in things that are eternal. And what I view as eternal is the souls of men and women and God's word. Those are the only two things that are going to last forever. This table, this house, that car you're thinking you're dreaming of, that's not eternal. Invest in people, invest in relationships. And I hope that if you have a heart that actually wants to seek truth, it's found in God's word. It's found in the person of Jesus. And it took me 26 years to figure out that that's what I wanted to base my life about. And I think that, to Gabe's point, you can interweave the principles and truths that God has taught you, the talents and abilities of Freddie Mac and Obey and Gabe. Like, y'all are so talented. But I challenged you on the way over here. Invite God into that process. Like, if it's just based on you, it's going to burn up. It's not going to be eternal. But if you're doing it with the, in the realm of with your eyes fixed on, man, I want this to impact people that I love. I want people that maybe never will hear the name of G Baby Obey again and be like, man, there was something different about him. And I think that if you don't involve your core beliefs, God's word, your relationship with Jesus in the process, it's so easy to rest on your own laurels and be like, I got this. And you'll look back and be like, man, where was that substance? And I think that for me, it's with eyes fixed on my relationships with people around me and God's word. Like, I want God to be a part and look back and say, people to look at me and speak highly of God and not highly of Josh Pugh. And that's my heart.
Dang.
Close us out, Freddie Mac. Close us out.
I don't know how I can. That's amazing for all three of y'all, man. You kind of took a lot of the words out of my mouth I agree with everything that everybody's been saying too. I want to throw that in there. Those that are on the path of graduating or in college or whatever, you know, trying to decide what you want to do for your career, especially if you're at the beginning, you got a blank canvas. You can be anything that you want to be. The sky is truly the limit, especially with the day and age. I know we talked about the good and the bad things of social media and things of that nature. There's limits to everything and there's balance in life and all of that, but you can be anything you want to be. There's a lot of free marketing out there to market a business or a skill, a talent, or whatever it may be. But find out what you're passionate about early. Spend your time instead of spending all your parents' money or spending all your money or whatever your situation is, figure out, sit alone with yourself and get in your own head. Look yourself in the mirror, figure out, you know, what can I do? What do I like to do? What am I passionate about? What do I love? And go after it. Because nobody can stop you but you and God. God can say, no, that's not the path I have for you. And you change up and you switch it up right, you know, when and if the time comes. But other than that, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Word. That's great. Man.
Gosh, man. I love y'all.
Love you too, man.
Love you too, bro.
Same, bro.
And I appreciate you guys for this. This blessed me. And I hope Sojourners, you've been blessed. Thank y'all for coming in. I needed this podcast, and I hope that you needed it, and I hope that you enjoyed the laughter, the wisdom. I hope you gleaned some wheat from the chaff, and hope you all have a blessed day. So this is Obey, just kind of signing off. Thank you all so much. Thank you to my team, and till next time. See y'all.